Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
When it comes to your finances, you think you've done it all. You've saved, you've researched, and you've invested all that you can. Now it's time to take those investments to the next level by using the brand behind every great investor, Yahoo Finance. As America's number one finance destination, Yahoo Finance has everything you need, whether you're a seasoned trader or just dipping your toes into the market. Join the millions of investors who trust Yahoo Finance to guide them on their financial journey. For comprehensive financial news and analysis, visit yahoofinance.com. The number one financial destination, yahoofinance.com.
You're listening to The Tillage Podcast with the Irish Farmers Journal.
Hello, and you're very welcome to this week's Tillage Podcast. I'm Siobhan Walsh, recording on Wednesday evening, the 7th of February. Coming up on this week's show, we talk about huge financial losses on tillage farms, impacted further by policy and regulations. We also talk about the sustainable use of pesticide regulations and that turnaround. We hear from the arable manager of over 35,000 hectares for Dyson Farming. Also, Pat O'Toole attended the Wexford Grain Awards for us, so we have something from that. And we catch up with Sinead Morris. We chatted to Sinead last week at the Tillage Conference on Irish grain in Irish drinks. And as always, we have the grain market and the weather reports. Okay, the rain earlier this week and last week hit hard. You know, I spoke to a lot of people, you know, early this week, got Tuesday morning, and we woke up to that rain all day. And I think a lot of people in Tillage are down this week. It is a tough time on farms, but look, we have to look on the positive and try and change the things that are in our control. Unfortunately, this week on the front page of the paper, we're not bringing you any good news either. So we have done some analysis on profits and loss on tillage farms, and that front page story is saying that we have a €7,500 weather hit on tillage farms this year, on the average tillage farm. So we go into more detail on that story then on page 5, the news pages. And basically what I've done here is I've taken an average farm. So in the Chagas National Farm Survey, the average tillage farm, average specialist tillage farm, is about 70 hectares in size. So I have a 71.8 hectare tillage farm. And then I've divided out the crops. So we've winter barley, 15 hectares. Winter wheat, 8 hectares. Then on this farm, 12 hectares of the winter wheat didn't establish. There's 15 hectares of spring beans to go in, 20 hectares of spring feed barley, and then 12 hectares of winter wheat that didn't establish will be planted with spring barley. So across that then, look, we took average yields, those average 5-year yields, with the exception of winter barley, because we just said, right, the winter barley on a lot of farms and winter crops in general are thin. So we put the average yield of the winter barley down to 8 tonnes per hectare from what would be the 5-year average of 8.9 tonnes per hectare, I think. We put the price in then at 185 for barley and 195 for wheat. So that's a base price. It's an estimated base price. That price could go up or go down. At the minute, prices are on their way down, but could go up before harvest time. It's a long way away. Price of beans then went in at 250. That's the minimum price that Dairy Gold have come out with. And we put the malt and barley price in at 240. So malt and barley price has dropped a good bit. The spot price has dropped in the last few weeks. And a price did come out this week from Bort Malt or some of the suppliers at 240. Now that 240 could be subject to transport costs depending on where you're sitting in the country. So after all that then, we brought had the grain income, straw income, we put at €250 per hectare. So we just put the straw scheme amount in that category, used the Chagas costs and returns then for the costs. And then we came out with a profit on the winter barley of €101 per hectare, winter wheat 489, winter wheat that didn't establish minus 477, spring beans €306 a hectare, spring feed barley 319. And then if you have malting barley at that price, we're putting the profit at 732 euro per hectare. So in total, without meeting malting barley specs, because a lot of people around the country have no access to malting barley contracts or else their barley doesn't pass. So we brought that income in at 14,517 euro across the farm. So that's an income of 202.20 per hectare. And if we had a normal year, whatever we like to call normal now, but if we had a year where that farmer got their winter crops in and where the crops established to average yields and yielded to average yields, the income would have been about 21,757.50. So that's a difference there of about 7,500 euro. Then we look at other things. So the cap. So this farmer, I just used an example of in 2022, their entitlements were worth 317 euro per entitlement. They have entitlements on the whole farm. So this farmer is actually down. So in 2022, their direct payment would have been 32,532.73, and that's going to be down 9,311 euro in 2024, and by 2026 that payment will actually be down to 21,137.87, so almost over 11,000 euro. It'll be down by 2026 as a result of convergence. Looking at positives then, so there's 15 hectares of spring beans. The area is maxed out on the spring beans rotation wise. So that's going to bring in 7,500 euro. And then many of you will have got a tillage support payment last week. So the government announced that tillage support payment of 50 euro per hectare on a max of 100 hectares. So this farmer will bring in 3,500 euro in that tillage support scheme. This is all detailed in the paper. It's on the front of the paper and on page 5 in detail. So you can take a look at all these figures in this week's paper. So we said the income loss and the poor weather. This is all, farmers are being affected by policy and regulations as well. So there's tree crop or crop diversification and rotation requirements there to manage. And then, you know, things like bare patches are all concerns, and these concerns came up at the tillage conference last year, and they're all big concerns for tillage farmers at the minute. So the IFA came out this week. They wanted flexibility on crop diversification requirements, and they also called for a tillage and sustainability payment. So good to see that coming. Look, other countries, other member states in the EU have called for a derogation from GAIAC 6, 7 and 8. That GAIAC 8 derogation came last week for EU member states, but doesn't really affect Ireland. But still asking for the GAIAC 6 and 7 to be removed. So hopefully our Minister for Agriculture will do the same. And look, I'd be hopeful that the Minister will ask for that derogation. Whether it will come or not is the next step then to get over. And we'll keep you up to date as soon as we hear whether that derogation has been applied for or not. Important to control the things that you can control. So do up your cost and returns. What crops are making you the most money? You know, at the end of the day, on owned land, you are making money on your crop still. Rented ground, I worked out figures from those figures that we have in the paper at 250 euro an acre for rented ground. So that's 620 a hectare. And farmers, that average farm example, they're losing over 400 euro a hectare. So rented land is very questionable this year. So you have to have your figures right. Of course, your costs will differ to the Chagas costs. But look, do your figures as well. Go out and do your plant counts and manage your crops accordingly to those plant counts. On the tillage pages this week, we have reports in from Conor Keogh from the tillage conference, and he has detailed Shea Phelan and Dermot Forrestal's advice on what to do with winter crops at present. And the tables there on the plant counts are detailed. While I talk about member states, some good news this week as well on the sustainable use of pesticides regulations. Look, those regulations were voted down in the EU this week. That's online and in the paper. And look, it's a win that the regulations were voted down, because, you know, a lot of them were overly strict, I suppose, and weren't just practical. You know, the need for an independent advisor on every farm couldn't be carried out in Ireland because we simply don't have the trained people to do it. So good to see those regulations voted down. Of course, they will be withdrawn. So look, as far as I'm concerned, Ireland is carrying on as was. There might be a few more things that will be you know, a few practical things that will be thought of a bit more, but the farm to fork targets are still there. We still have to reduce pesticide use by 50%. So I don't see the department straying away too much from the regulations that were there. Just a bit of common sense might come into some of them. So good news, but probably not going to change loads of stuff in the scheme of things. And then as well, today, Wednesday, I know MEPs voted to back gene-edited seed, but without patents. I'll just read out something. Noel Barden has this online. So the approval of draft text was voted on for the basis that plant varieties obtained using gene editing will be sorted into two categories, which would receive different levels of regulation. And the Parliament wants the first category to contain only plants which are considered equivalent to conventional ones and are exempted from GMO rules, while the second category would consist of any other plant spread using new genomic techniques, which will face stricter requirements. That's all online. You can catch up with that there. Okay, we'll move on. And a really good positive story now next. So I was at the Drummonds conference 2 weeks ago, the 24th of January, and we had a podcast from there. So if you missed that, do catch up on it. At that conference, Drummonds invited over Ben Abel. Ben is the arable manager at Dyson Farming. He's in charge of about 35,000 hectares or acres or more on Dyson's farms. So really interesting to hear from him. So we were able to catch up with Ben after he had spoke at Drummonds, and thanks so much for joining us, because Ben, I know, was on the way to the airport and made time for us. Ben Abel, Dyson Farman, you gave a great talk in there at the Drummonds Winter Conference. First of all, weather in England, all the farmers in Ireland are a bit depressed at the minute. Is it the same over there? Give us a bit of good news. Or
yeah, no, I share the thoughts and feelings, and yeah, have my sympathies. It's been miserable, probably going back to July. Yeah, it was very overcast and pretty sort of wet and miserable. It's difficult harvest, and then yeah, very wet October, sort of wettest October on record, yeah, which affected autumn drilling. And now we've got still standing water now, and we've had no dikes and rivers overflowing and very patchy crops. So yeah, it's not a great look at the minute.
Is your winter acreage back now this year, or what way is it?
Yeah, winter acreage will be back. Yeah, particularly on sort of the winter wheat, obviously, and it'll be replaced with some spring wheat. Or we've still got a chance. We have drilled some wheat recently on the frost, and we might sneak a bit more in if we can, which I will do, but time's running out for winter wheat varieties coming up to the end of Jan. But so spring wheat, potato acreage might go up slightly because prices are good on potatoes, and we've got the option some more forage crop we could put in for the anaerobic digesters.
Okay, yeah, so you have options there to move to maize or something. You've 35,000 acres or so in Dyson, and your aim, I suppose, when you started out in 2012 was to farm without it, or not to be dependent on the BPS. But a big part of your presentation in there was that you are going to lose your BPS in the UK by 2027. So what are you doing to counteract that? Or like, whether you like it or not, that BPS has been a big part of your income.
Yeah, it has. I think for us, it's looking at what we can do with products. So it can be difficult with commodity crops trying to add value. But yeah, for us, it's can we add value on certain crops, looking at more high value crops. And for us, obviously, the strawberries and that circular system of using waste heat and electric from the anaerobic digesters to then grow strawberries has given us another revenue stream and extra diversity with it. So I think I'd say we've added some leisure and property. So it's just trying to add as much diversity to the business as we can, as well as looking at, obviously we've got the agricultural transition and now the sustainable farming incentive. Some of those options we're already doing, so we'll be able to look at where we can add value through that as well.
Yes, you talked about regen ag and a term that you don't like and one I don't necessarily like using either, but basically you're trying to farm better. But the schemes in the UK now are helping you to do that. So what are some of the things that you're taking up in the likes of Elms or that kind of thing? What's helping you to...
Yeah, we've got some like multi-species cover crop. We can grow like oats, vetch, and we can graze it with sheep, and then we can obviously forage that for AD. Some of the companion cropping with oilseed rape, we can do. No insecticides on crops like oilseed rape, spring barley, maize, we can do. The precision farming options look good as well. The sort of variable rate nutrients have been doing that for a while, yeah, as well as the camera system on the sprayer for precision application of herbicides with a green on brown and green on green we're developing. So we're looking at those options to add some value to the business.
Yeah, so that's a spot sprayer.
Yeah.
Is it working well on the farm? So you said it works better on some crops than others.
Yeah, it works. It works really well on green on brown because it obviously it just spots that very easily. So for creating stale seed beds with glyphosate, it works very, very well. We can see up to 90% saving in chemical, which is massive. So it's that sustainable use of inputs we're looking at. Green on green we're developing.
Tried spring barley.
Yeah, we tried spring barley with just a simple broadleaf weed herbicide. The bigger weeds it can pick out and apply to, it obviously struggles with the smaller weeds to pick them out, especially if they're just underneath the crop. So looking at it in the wider row crops where it could work easier, such as maize, all seed rate where you got wider rows and should be easy to pick out the weeds. So some easy wins like big volunteer potatoes, it picks out quite easily. So yeah, it's developing.
You mentioned AD already, but it was a big part of your presentation there. It's a big part of the farm. You grow a lot of stock for it. So how are you feeding that digester? Is there a slurry? Is there what crops are going into it?
Yes, so it's all energy crops. It's all crops grown on our own land. Predominantly maize, 70% maize, and then 30% what we call winter forage. So it'd be hybrid barley, hybrid rye, or oats vetch. So those winter cereals give us a nice spread because they'll come to maturity at different times, which helps us spread the workload to get us the right quality of dry matter going into clamp. So
why the vetch? Sorry.
Works well in terms of it survives through the winter. Nitrogen fixing, so it adds some value to the following crop. And it seems to sort of fit in well with the oats. And it's reasonably cheap to buy as well. And we can farm save the oats, so it's quite a cheap option to grow. Obviously, you can't put any herbicides on it. We've been cereal and non-cereal, but generally going for forage, it's not a problem, sort of weed control.
Yeah, I know you're under time pressure for the airport. So one last question. Someone asked you about carbon credits and I heard you speak before and you had mentioned the Cool Farm tool and that kind of thing. So you have measured your carbon, but you're very wary of selling that to someone.
Yeah. I think it's been a bit like the Wild West, hasn't it? Selling carbon.
Yeah,
and,
absolutely.
I think we're just sitting back and seeing where the dust settles on that. As I said, there is some contracts where it's actually included in the price of the produce, which might be a better way of doing it. So if you meet certain criteria, you'll get an extra amount per ton or per hectare, which is probably easier criteria to look at than just sort of selling carbon credits.
Thanks so much to Ben for joining us for that chat. Okay, next up is Sinead Morris, and Sinead works at the Southeast Technological University on the Brewing and Distilling course, and she's carrying out plenty of research in conjunction with Chagas, and she spoke at the National Tillage Conference last week on Irish grain and how it can be used in Irish drinks. She's looking at wheat in particular, as well as rye and grain maize. So here's what Sinead had to say. Sinead Morris, thanks very much for joining us. So you're from Southeast Technological University doing loads of research on brewing and distilling. You're examining different grains to be used in that, which Irish farmers would be delighted to hear about.
Yeah, so we're looking at wheat, rye and maize in particular. So we're trying to move away from kind of the malted barley. There's been so much research done on that. So we're trying to kind of generate these other crops that could potentially be used within the sector. So all of our research is focused around setting up these new methods for testing of grains. So to date, we don't have standard operating procedures, and how Irish distillers process their grains differs greatly to other jurisdictions. So where you'd have operating procedures for the likes of Scotland, we don't have them in Ireland. Okay. So our first task was to look at setting up those protocols, and now that we have them, we can test those grains. So we can test wheat, rye and maize to determine their alcohol yields.
Okay.
So with wheat, for example, if we look at something like Torp, we're looking at about 450 litres of alcohol per tonne on a dry weight basis of alcohol.
That's good, is it?
Yeah, very good. It's malted barley, you're looking at over 410 litres per tonne on a dry weight basis.
Okay, so wheat's really good.
Yeah, so wheat's quite good. It has its own set of difficulties. So it has kind of things like pentasands or beta-glucans, so they're known for giving increased viscosity, which just causes issues in the distillery. So we don't get as good as conversion happening. And they kind of impact on how much starch we're going to get.
Okay, how much would maize, so we're importing a lot of maize, wheat would replace that maize?
So the kind of alcohol yields are comparable. So we've linked in with different industries in Ireland, so different distilleries, and we've been told what maize to expect about 460 litres of alcohol per tonne. But we, with Torp, as I said, we get about 450. With things like LG Astronomer or LG Skyscraper, we're hitting that 470 litre per tonne mark. Now, just a caution on that is this is lab scale studies, so we'd expect about a 10% loss when we go to bigger trials. But I suppose that's where Chagas and Lisa's work is going to come in, and that they're going to scale up everything I've done and then to be able to put that into better context for our industry.
That's Lisa Ryan. We've had Lisa on the podcast before. She was telling us what's going on in brewing and distilling in Carlow, which is what she was telling us today as well. So we'll have to have certain specs on that wheat. So what specs are we looking at?
So at the moment, we've only kind of 3 years of data. So the more data we add to this, the better these specs are going to become. For things like protein, we're looking anywhere from about 8 to 11% protein will give really high alcohol yields. If you go below or go higher than that 11%, you start seeing a decrease in alcohol yields.
Okay.
As much starch as possible is always going to be the best way.
Yeah.
We're seeing over 60% starch in our wheat samples, which is great. And then things like pentasans and beta-glucans, we want to keep them very low. So for beta-glucans, we're looking at less than 5%. And then pentasans, we're in around 10%. Pentasans are correlating with our proteins. So when proteins increase, our pentasans increase. And it's just that's kind of trying to figure out how everything is going to interlink to if affect that alcohol yield is kind of the main goal of this work.
So the name of the game then is low protein, ultimately.
Which low protein, high starch.
Okay. Sinead, that's really interesting. How are the distilleries taking all this?
So we have a very good positive feedback from distilleries. So we have a stakeholder group that looks at some of the small players, and then we're also working with some of the kind of bigger players down in Cork and Offaly. And they're really, really positive. They're full of support. They're giving us loads of suggestions, and they're also taking what we're saying on board. They're sending us their samples so that we can put them through our own trials and then sharing results back and forward to see is what we're getting, what they're actually getting in a distillery, which is great to see that we are achieving what they're achieving.
Great news. Thanks, Sinead. Thanks
for
joining us.
Thanks for having me.
Thanks to Sinead. Certainly positivity coming out of that research, and more positivity now, this time at the Wexford Grain Awards. They were held last Friday, the 2nd of February, and I'm just going to call out the winners here now. First up in the barley category was Peter Murphy. Simon and Lara Lambert won the wheat category. Brian Burney won oats, and Terry Tim and Richard Sheehan won the beans prize. So they received €1,000 each, courtesy of the sponsors Permanent TSB, AIB and Escarthy Credit Union, the IFA as well. So that's in the dealer this week. And Pat O'Toole attended those awards for us, and he caught up with one of the judges, no stranger to this podcast, Mr. Andy Doyle.
I'm here with Andy Doyle at Wexford IFA's Feed Grain Quality Awards. It's at the inaugural night of the award ceremony. Andy is one of the judges. So, Andy, what do you make of this initiative, and what are your hopes for it?
Pat, I would honestly think that anything that recognises and rewards farmers for the things that they do on an annual basis is always to be welcomed and applauded. And there's probably no other way I can say it. I heard a man say a few years ago, a business farmer, if I can use that phraseology, talking about the intellectual property which belongs to farmers. And really, that's what it is. The skill that people have assembled over the years through generations to be able to work with nature, work with all of the constraints that are placed upon them, you know, it deserves to be rewarded and acknowledged. And this is what this is doing.
And quality was hard to achieve in 2023, an extraordinarily difficult growing season the whole way through. What did you and your fellow judges see in terms of the best grain that was out there?
Well, Pat, we might have difficulty saying that we saw an absolutely perfect sample. We didn't. We saw what the year gave us. But we also saw that some individuals, for whatever combination of reasons, were still producing quality that more than met the requirements of any and every market out there. And it's, you know, we have a lot of awards out there for the quality premium type products like malting barley or potatoes or things like that. But the feed grain man, who is the backbone of the industry, they've had nothing up to now, and this is fantastic. Well, maybe that's slightly wrong, in that Tierlon, in fairness, have had these recognitions for years, but it's just fantastic to see this happening, I think.
And in order to get premium payments for Irish grain, and to have it recognised as being a product that we can stand over and demand a premium price for, we have to prove the quality of it, and it's contests like this that will help farmers in that regard.
Yes, Pat, we have to prove it, and then when we know we have it, we have to begin to sing it from the treetops, you know, and the hilltops. We haven't been doing that. We've been looking at feed barley in the main as the place you send it if it fails somewhere else. That's not good enough. It is a premium product in its own right. It can stand the test of time. It's been well proven in any kind of trial situation that it's been put into. Irish grain is good grain. And yes, we will occasionally get a scenario or a harvest where we do have problems. You know, nature does that everywhere in the world. And we needn't be any more afraid of that happening to us than anybody else. We do a good job. The vast majority of farmers do an excellent job year after year, and this is only the start of a way to recognise it.
Now, next up, I have a favour to ask. So we are completing a survey here in the Irish Farmers Journal on the Tillage podcast, and we want to hear your views, your opinions, what you like in the podcast, what you'd like to see more of, what you don't like, if the sound quality is good, if the volume is high enough, all those sorts of things. So we have a €100 one for all voucher to give away, and we want as many people as possible to fill in the survey. You can go to www.ifj.ie/tillagepodcast, and I'm going to put that link in the Spotify and iTunes, wherever you get your podcasts, in the description there, and I'll also put the link in the article on the website. So that's www.ifj.ie/tillagepodcast. Okay, grain markets now. Not great in the markets this week. One positive is those tier lawn bonus payments were announced this week. So where you were paid 195 at harvest time for your base price, you've now been topped up by €10 per tonne if you spent your €60 per tonne on inputs. If you spent €50 to €60 per tonne, then your bonus is €7.50, and €40 to €50 a tonne, your bonus is €5 per tonne. So that will top up your grain payments this season. Otherwise, in the markets, look, worldwide, French prices going down. Last week, Matif wheat for December finished at €225.75. That's down €10.50 per tonne since the start of January. And then on Wednesday, today is 7th of February, that price was at 222, so it had dropped further. Maize has dropped €18 per tonne since the start of the year. That's the November price. It was at 190 today, so that's actually €20 on the start of the year because it finished at 192 last week. And then oilseed rape did take a little bit of a bounce this week. It jumped up on Tuesday evening, but back down on Wednesday afternoon at 420.25. Being led by soybean markets, and in the background then that shortage of rapeseed in Europe probably helping out. If we look at native prices then, look, they've been going in line with European prices. Spot barley now down to around €215 per tonne and lower, and wheat at around €230, and look, similar enough prices for those November prices as well. And maize looking around the same price as barley, maize imports at €215. So that's where markets are. Not a good story there, but look, I suppose it's harvest is a long way away, and you never know what way weather and things will go, and we just don't know where those prices will end up. To the weather now, and I'll get the forecast here from Met Éireann. So the forecast for Friday, it will continue cold and mostly cloudy with some further outbreaks of rain and possibly still a little sleet in Ulster. It'll become drier and possibly a little brighter into the afternoon. Temperatures of 3 to 7 degrees. And then overnight lows temperatures of -1 to +3 degrees. So get the antifreeze back in the sprayer if you were out with live sash or herbicides on your winter crops. Saturday then will bring a mix of weather, some ice frost and mist, and fog in parts to begin. High temperatures of 5 to 9 or 10 degrees, light variable breezes, and temperatures overnight -1 to +4 degrees. Sunday, some cloud and outbreaks of rain for a time in parts on Sunday, but it will generally brighten up, and temperatures of 6 to 9 degrees. And then the outlook for Monday to Wednesday, cold and blustery on Monday with sunshine and scattered showers. Some wintry at times, becoming dry. It'll become dry and it'll be cold on Monday night with some frost and ice. And Tuesday then is likely to be mostly dry with sunshine, and there's a chance of rain moving in from the southwest later Tuesday or Wednesday. And as I look at my rainfall chart, so Thursday this week is wet, Friday, nice bit of rain, and then it does get drier over the weekend. Certainly a good bit of rain in the northwest and southwest, and the northeast, a little bit of rain on Monday, and then looking brighter for Tuesday and Wednesday across the board. That's it for this week. Thanks to you for listening. Thanks to our guests, to Ben, Sinead, Andy and Pat, to Claire and Jerome for editing back at base. Look, get out there and get to some events. There's still plenty of events on. Chagas have some spring seminars. I'm heading to Kilkenny tonight to one of those seminars. So until next week, stay safe and keep the tillage flag flying.
We hope you enjoyed this Irish Farmers Journal podcast. You can find all our podcasts at farmersjournal.ie/podcast and on iTunes, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
When it comes to your finances, you think you've done it all. You've saved, you've researched, and you've invested all that you can. Now it's time to take those investments to the next level by using the brand behind every great investor, Yahoo Finance. As America's number one finance destination, Yahoo Finance has everything you need, whether you're a seasoned trader or just dipping your toes into the market. Join the millions of investors who trust Yahoo Finance to guide them on their financial journey. For comprehensive financial news and analysis, visit yahoofinance.com, the number one financial destination, yahoofinance.com.